The title is Bless the World Even More. And it starts out in our themes that we've been using, where we get a packet of material each month with a theme from over 70 Unitarian Universalist congregations around the country sending in material and then compiling this for, it has exercises, readings, reflections, TED Talks, and all that on a theme. And the last few themes have been, it was liberation, creativity, blessing this month, and simplicity is next month's. And what I want to share with you is the difficulty we have in the sense of, I want something new. I've been there, done that, once I've heard something. But yet, what I've experienced it as a spiritual path, as a practice. If I were to call it Bible study, many of you would go, oh, that's official, that's real, you know, that's solid. But I would suggest that this is solid. And if you're looking for that connection, just a few minutes to kind of focus your activities a little bit, to kind of ground it, to give you reflection, to have you actually be working on that which you seek, take a look at these materials. It's on our website each month. Blessing this month and simplicity is next month. So what I'm going to do this morning is share a little bit of what I've learned about blessing. Well, the first for review is a definition. It's a beneficial thing for which one is grateful. It's something that brings well-being or that resides, in which well-being resides. You can think about it as bringing appreciation, a moment of gratitude, a moment of belonging, of being in right relationship with and in life, where that chronic discontent or uncertainty or lack or being unsure of where you're moving next just moves away a little bit. You go, oh, that's good. Rebecca Parker, in her poem, which we started out with, called Choose to Bless the World, said, your gifts, whatever you discover them to be, can be used to bless, to bring well-being, or to curse the world. The mind's power, the strength of the hand, the reaches of the heart, the gift of speaking, listening, imagining, seeing, waiting, any of these can serve to feed the hungry, bind up wounds, welcome the stranger, praise what is sacred, do the work of justice, or offer love, even to yourself. Any of these can draw down the prison door, hoard bread, abandon the poor, obscure what is holy, comply with injustice, or withhold love. You must answer this question. What will you do with your gifts? She says, choose to bless the world. We also discover that that's hard to value or notice once we try to do it. Psychologist and author Rick Hansen says that it makes the brain has a bias for negativity. Scientists have shown that. The brain has a bias for negativity. Duh. And it makes it hard to notice blessings. It turns out that it takes 5 positive things to make up for 1 negative thing. And don't make that real big. Just make that daily, you know, or something you do and you go, oh, man, I'm terrible. Look at that. Look what I did wrong. It takes 5 positive things. A corollary of that could be that things are really 5 times better than they appear to be. Do you think about that? That's not actually quite true. If you do the math, they're 84%, you know. But the key, he also says, the brain is... It's kind of like, let's see, positive experiences are like Teflon and negative experiences are like Velcro. Okay? But what's the cure? What's the remedy? What's the simple solution? It's just attention. Pay attention. Know that that's happening and then pay attention to it. You think about the first thing we talked about in the reading, tangled blessing. Tangled blessing. Rather than doing our dualistic sense of it has to be a blessing or it has to be bad or it has to overcome all this, it's tangled. How many of you ever fished with a bait casting rod in your growing up? Right. And so if you throw the lure out there and the reel, you don't use your thumb just right on it, right? And the reel spins faster than the lure's going out, and all of a sudden your line piles up. And not only does it pile up, it knots up. That's what I've always understood, because I did that a lot as a child. Tangled to mean. So you have to sit there and pick it out until it's what? Free-flowing again. Until you find the smooth motion underneath. Tangled blessing, attention. Try to find what is rather than focus so much on what is not. The one tangled in the five, negative. On Mother's Day, which was just last Sunday, it was 3 days after the anniversary of my mom dying, and I shared that I was surprised when I texted my brothers that I miss mom, that I got tears. You know, I hadn't expected that. And then I tried to explain what I missed, and there were the particulars, but underneath that, there was more sort of a foundational, primal, fundamental moment of rightness with life. But more than one person came up to me afterwards and said, I didn't have a mom like yours. And I really struggle with that whole notion of the blessing in my mother. It was an example of a mother dying young or giving up her child or mental illness or struggles within that. And yet, I have to correct. I didn't want to leave the impression that I had an ideal mom. I should probably tell you about the mom that wasn't in that way, you know, and it all resulted in my codependence, my insecurity, my, you know, and I can go on with those issues. But that was a part of raising me, you know? That's a part of my mom doing it. And what happened with the people who were talking to me was, out of the struggle was the notice that that universal blessing that informs life and that is life was given to them by somebody else. Or underneath that, by their mom in early years. Or that sense, it's sort of being aware of how you get that, rather than, again, it's not what you don't have, it's what you got. Every one of you sitting in here, in this room, in this place, today, experienced the primal, fundamental blessing of life. You're all doing pretty well, even if in your head you don't think so. But you got it. And on Mother's Day, it was the difficulty even of framing it for recognizing it, if not in mom, in that first few years of life. Belonging, the universal blessing that is life and informs life, original blessing within which we live and move, and which really should inform and guide our actions. More the 80%. If you think about it, we talk about exemplars, having an exalted view of human possibility with religious exemplars, guides. But you also think about it, they're personifications of that rightness with life. People we can relate to of what this is and means. Not an abstract notion, but when people talk about Jesus, And Jesus as Savior, if you step back from the weird theological notions into the way of being in the world, all of a sudden you can understand that. There's that rightness or belonging with life. Or the Buddha. Or when we read particular passages or poems, we connect with it. So it's up to us to practice finding the blessing, to notice and pay attention to that. In our opening words, we said, despite all the darkness, human hope is based on the instinct that at, this is John O'Donohue, that at the deepest level of reality, some intimate kindness holds sway. This is the heart of blessing. To believe in blessing is to believe what? That our being here, our very presence in the world is the first gift, the primal blessing. Rebecca Parker, in her poem, Choose to Bless the World, uses language that's almost identical to O'Donohue's. She says, the choice to bless the world is more than act of will, a moving forward into the world with the intention to do good. That's that effort to be right, right? That's that effort to get it right all the time. It's more than that. It's an act of recognition, a confession of surprise, a grateful acknowledgement that in the midst of a broken world, in the midst of a broken me, unspeakable beauty, grace, and mystery abide. There is an embrace of kindness that encompasses all life, even yours. Those are her words. There is an embrace of kindness that encompasses all life, even yours. You're going, yeah, right, you know. There is an embrace of kindness that encompasses all life, even yours. So that was that sense of, after the struggle, being able to recognize where you got that love, where you found it, where it came from, who gave it, rather than just focusing on who didn't give it to you in the way that you wanted to get it. What did they give you? One person shared that they hadn't thought much about their mother, but then they began paying attention to thinking about their mother. And the point of this isn't your mother. It's that primal sense of blessing. And then they remembered the gift of music that she had shared with them. When I was sharing this, and we were talking about this in our Spirituality on Tap group, where we used the packet, Todd Hoke turned to me and he asked the question. He said, do you think, he said, Jim, he didn't say in general, he goes, Jim, do you think you're a blessing to others? And then I turned it back on him because I needed some help. And he could answer it. And I went, wow, why didn't I answer that? And I know, for many reasons, but I think I am. But then I go, or do I? I think I am much of the time. But I hesitate to say it out loud. Why? I hesitate to invite the objections or invite the sense in somebody's brain of, oh, no, you're not really. Or there's that time, one of those five negatives. I mean, one of those one negatives for the five. But what does that do? It stops me from naming it and acknowledging it and really moving into it. So it became kind of a koan after last Thursday. How am I a blessing to others? And I'm not going to tell you. But I am. But even in that hesitation of putting it out there, it's putting it into the judgment of the world, but it's also the judgment in my head. Choose to bless the world. Choose to bless the world. Don't just put it out there. Choose to bless this world And then by doing this, bless the world. So, this is for you. Where have you blessed the world? Where have you found a blessing? Maybe share a blessing you've found or that's found you. And then try to answer that question. Do you think you are, or are you, a blessing to others? If so, how? I wish Todd was here because he'd share the example, but I can't do it for him. So does anybody have any answers? Where have you blessed the world? Have you thought about that this month while we've been doing this? Where have you found a blessing, or where has a blessing found you? They're all around. They're a part of what we're living. And do you think you are a blessing to others, and how? And are you willing to share that? Anybody? Wow. Yeah, I'm asking for a response or anything. You want to use this mic? Or thanks, Meg, for saving me.
I just like to talk is all. Well, you know, when I was in college, someone said, Meg, people like being around you because you're like a little pep pill. You know, like I'm happy and energetic and like that. And so people like, she was saying, people like being around you for that. And that's probably true. But that's not really the way in which I see that I am a blessing in that way. And if people remember a talk a few years ago on active being, in that talk I was relating how when I feel real connection with people is when I can be the most in tune with my own self, like calm my brain enough to really feel myself and then be present with another person. And in that talk, I gave an example, you know, a couple examples from work and personal life. But it's that sense of what you were just saying. It's not out here. It's here. It's like when I'm most one with my own self is when I feel like I connect the best and am perhaps more of a blessing to the world around me.
Bill, would you? And even those connections we made later, too.
It even feels weird to talk about maybe that you've given a blessing to somebody else. That sounds sort of arrogant in a way. But Jim was talking about last week, I filled out the little heart, you remember, and said that the blessing my mother gave me in one word was music. And so the way that has actualized in my life is in all kinds of different ways where I enjoy music. But it also was the thing that informed my decision to start a concert series here, which I hope has been a blessing to all of us. I know most of us really enjoy the music.
And then the particular was Salsa Shark had played in concert, and then I made the connection of that would never have happened if your mother, you hadn't, as you described it, sat with her on the piano bench and loved music. We all have that. And then we went to, oh, that's It's a Wonderful Life. And then it became cliched. But it's not if we pay attention to it.
A couple of years ago, you gave us money.
Would you say your name?
Susan Maben.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, you handed out money here. And that resulted through a long road.
Oh, yeah.
To my helping some homeless people. And then that went to, my neighborhood was seeking to raise money for some project, and so I told them about Only Hope. And as a result, Cummings Cove raised enough money for Only Hope to fund our house for a year.
Wow. There you go. Yeah, Jeff.
Hi, I'm Jeff Shields. I've received what would I have to say is an avalanche of blessings the last couple of weeks. First of all, we just moved into the area last week ever after planning several years, but saying goodbye to all my friends back in Pennsylvania was an overwhelming experience, you know, from the standpoint of the people telling me how much I had meant to them in their lives. And that's hard for someone like me to hear sometimes, because I have a real hard time patting myself on the back for anything. So such wonderful affirmations are just an overwhelming blessing to me, and I am blessed to be here. So thank you.
That's a perfect example of a tangled blessing. That's what we were talking about. Exactly.
I'm Paula Johnson, and occasionally when I've played the piano, I don't know if others have perceived me as a blessing, but I have felt blessed on those rare occasions when I feel this intense emotional connection through playing the piano. It's just such an incredible, special moment in time. And I'm grateful, so grateful for music.
Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. If you look around the room, just let's make it real simple. Look around the room. All of you have been a blessing just today by making the choice to be here and to participate, be a part of all of us, and create this congregation. And then you think about what this congregation does in the world. It wouldn't be here without you, you know? And you just start thinking that way. And I know we tend to think, oh, that's just, you know, sort of blessing light, or that's not intellectual enough. But I personally have to remind myself all the time to just go into that simple appreciation of what is and what is real and what is connected. I can tell you that just in thinking this way, I've had conversations in the last few weeks where I got just completely tied up in the conversation, in the sense of I couldn't find my way out of it. I couldn't find my way to goodness in the conversation, and I was struggling to do it. But it kept coming back to me, this notion of, okay, rather than be defensive or try to get something done or do this, it's sort of like Meg said, how can I be present to me and to the other person into this space and shift it in a way? And I had those moments where it actually worked, you know, from that awareness. And it was like, oh, this is very different. This is very, very good. So you think about those. It'll happen to you today in some way. You know, in some space, in some feeling. So, last week we talked, was it last week? I think so, about the Navajo's blessing way, which is at the center of their cosmology, of how the universe works. And it's the divine mother again, but it's about getting back to your true nature, to well-being, the blessing way. One of the things I want to share real quickly, if I have, no, maybe not. Well, just real quickly, I was going to share the example of how this whole controversy over House Bill 2, okay, we look at all the negativity about it, but what if we looked at the positive in there, the silver lining, and you go, don't be Pollyannish. But what has happened is that we've really been blessed by, and transgender people have been blessed by, an increase in awareness, and then an increase in a feeling of compassion and caring and moving ahead. And so much of this has just been the argument of one-upping, fighting dogs, really. I mean, of standoff, of, oh, Charlotte did this, so, you know, North Carolina state government does this, North Carolina state government does this, so federal government does this, and we're all arguing about predators in the bathrooms while minimum wages are being taken away and rights to sue are going, and ha, yada, yada. And it just keeps on going. But it struck me, wait, one of the issues that creates a lot of tension for all of us is privacy in bathrooms. Everybody here is concerned about privacy in the bathroom. Just, you are. I am. In the Y, they're concerned about it. They don't let, at one age, they didn't let me bring Hannah into the men's bathroom, any shower room anymore. I had to figure out how to go there. So I went, wow. But if you recognized transgender people as having important rights, but more than rights, as being those worthy people who are worthy of having the same feelings that a 14-year-old, they say 14-year-old girls, boys in 14-year-old girls, locker rooms, no way, you know? And you go, yeah, I get that, no way. So, but what if, you don't want them to be uncomfortable, you don't want transgender people to be uncomfortable too, but what if you started talking to each other like this was all good, like we can figure this out, it's just a bathroom issue, and you put all these to the side, you realize it's doable. Whoever asked them, what does it mean to be recognized? Well, where I'm going with this is, it's in the paper today. Wrote it out, I wrote out stuff on it, but the schools are balancing concerns. You just read through this, and you read, we're having a conversation that's going, you're good, we're good, it's all good, we've done this before. How does that connect to blessing? That's thinking about, all the time I've been thinking about, what's the good in here? What's the good as connected people in here? How do we move away from anger into taking care of each other? How many of you know Irish blessing? May the road rise up to greet you. May the wind be forever at your back. What is it doing? What is it wishing for you? It's wishing for you well-being, right? It's wishing for us well-being. It's that connection with the true nature of things. Well, one person in this congregation writes blessings as a practice, and she connects back to that well-being in her blessings. And the way I discovered this was I got blessings when I was recovering from surgery that she wrote. And so I got this idea to ask Susan Holt to explain her blessing practice a little bit, and then to, this was just yesterday, if she felt like it, write a blessing for this congregation. And she did. And so she, oh, there you are, Susan.
I didn't know I was going to explain this, but
how it worked.
Briefly, I will say, my grandson was due about 7.5 years ago, and I was a little nervous. I work with kids who have special needs. I knew that families can go through a lot if a child is born that has some special issues, and so I was a little nervous. Is this baby going to be okay, and how is this going to work for the family? And so I wrote a blessing for that birth and for that baby, and it kind of got me started sharing blessings with people that I care about. So I wrote this one for you all today, for all of us. May we, in this moment of shared presence, silence, and song, words offered to the restless and the attentive, may we be blessed. May blessings come. And also to those not present but in our hearts. May we be blessed to receive fully, body and spirit, earth's green which enlivens us, the sun's warmth, the scent of spring, the melody of birdsong, the bounty and the beauty all about. May we be blessed to know the great gift that each one of us is to all of us, to those sitting near us, those standing across the room, those busy or waiting downstairs or outside. May we be blessed to feel our strength and our calling, each having a part in the hope shared, the courage rekindled, in the warming and the healing of hearts, which we take out into the everyday of our living in this world. And may we be blessed to come together again and again and again, to feel our lives affirmed with each new gathering, the dark and the light of our lives woven together into wholeness, the joy and the struggle transformed through faith into this, our community. Amen.
Blessed be. Bless the world even more.